are many of our day, even in the Christian world, who insist that the Bible teaches that the world is only 6,000 years old. Today, I want to see that quite the contrary is true. There are many over the years, I've seen some of the films and some of these so-called documentaries trying to explain the discrepancy, and many of them trying to say that the day in Genesis is not a 24-hour day. But I want to notice that indeed it is. We read in Genesis 1:5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. This term, evening and morning, is used in other places throughout the scripture, and it does refer to a 24-hour day. To eliminate that would be to rob God of his ability. He can indeed, and he did, create the light in one day. And all of these other days wherein it is said the evening and the morning were the first day, then the pattern continues throughout the 6 days. The answer to the dilemma, God did not leave man in the dark for any length of time. We read in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and put a period there exactly as it is. Then we read in verse 2, the earth was without form and void. And this is what we want to see today. God did not create the world without form and void. We'll not turn there, but Isaiah 45:18 says this, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. That word vain means to lie waste. It means a desolation. It means an empty place. It means without form. It is exactly the same word that is used here in verse 2 of our chapter. The earth was without form and void. But Isaiah tells us God didn't create it that way. Isaiah goes on to say that he formed it to be inhabited. The world in verse 2 is not a habitable earth at all. So God didn't leave it. God didn't create it without form and void. Let us turn briefly to Hebrews 11. That great faith chapter. Hebrews 11, we'll begin with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds or the ages were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That last statement means that God took nothing and made something out of it. The things which we see were not made of things which do appear. I want to emphasize this morning that last statement cannot be applied to the 6 days of creation that we see in Genesis 1. Let us find out why. Let us go back. Genesis 1. And we notice at the outset, verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 7, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. I want to point out and to emphasize the waters were already here. God didn't take nothing and make water out of it. It was already here. The reason it was here is because God created it in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the waters at that time. Something happened between verses 1 and 2. There may be billions of years between those two verses. But verse 1 is where that God created something out of nothing. Verse 1 is where God created the waters. And that pattern continues on down through these other verses. Notice verse 9. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. Notice that the dry layer of the land is already there. Yes, it was underwater, the earth. But now then, God says in this recreation, let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 10, and God called the dry land earth. It was already there. He didn't just create it. He didn't make something out of nothing. At this point, the earth is already in existence. And the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Verse 11. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, fruit tree yielding fruit, after his kind. The seeds were already there. The fruit tree was already there. God had created that how many eons of time ago? We don't know. But they are here, and he just commands it to come forth at this time, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth. I'm persuaded in a moment of time, the earth brought forth the herb, the grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 14, we have just a little bit of a contrast here, or verse 16. Notice God said in verse 14, let there be light. In verse 16, God made two great lights. He did make something out of nothing here. He created. He formed it. And he said, the greater light is to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God created at this point. But let us come back down to the earth at this particular point. Verse 20. God said, let the waters bring forth. The waters, like the earth, already here, as we have seen. But now then, God says, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly upon the earth. The birds came out of the waters. We have heard science say again and again that so many earth-dwelling creatures actually had their origin in the water. Apparently they're right. God's word says they did. He brought forth the fowls out of the waters, that the fowl may fly up on the earth, or fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. But they came out of the waters. Chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man, God is creating again, but he didn't create. He didn't form something out of nothing. He formed man out of the dust of the earth, and it was already here. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Back up to verse 1, or chapter 128. After God had created man, then God blessed them in verse 28, and he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God gave the same instruction after he destroyed the earth by a flood in the days of Noah. And he told Noah, you go forth and replenish the earth. The word means the same in both places. The earth had been already inhabited. The earth had been plenished before. And God is simply telling Adam and Eve, you go forth, you replenish the earth. It is very important that we understand here in chapter 2 and verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth. Adam was not a part of the first creation. The dust was, but God didn't create Adam until this second creation. Notice verse 3, or chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. According to Revelation 12:9, the serpent is identified as that serpent of old, or that dragon, or Satan. Let us understand that Satan has already fallen at this particular time. I have asked the question over the years, can anyone tell me how old Satan is? Because the day we discover that is the day we will discover how old the earth is, because they were both created at the same time. Satan may be billions of years old. It doesn't bother me one bit for men to make their archaeological discoveries and to bring these bones and prints and all of these things and declare that this is a prehistoric animal from millions of years old. Don't bother me for them to call it billions of years old, because they are a part of the first creation. And so we simply do not know how old they are. Now, science has a great argument with itself as to how you date something like that. Some are married to carbon dating. Then there's another one, I don't know what that one's called, but it says carbon dating can't be right. So science disagrees with itself as to how to date anything, but we can believe the scripture no matter how many eons of time have elapsed. These creatures were a part of God, including Satan and his ungodly wicked angels. All of them were a part of that first creation. And so we find that Satan and all of these others, we can certainly find evidence of all of them. Scripture plainly tells us, as we saw there in Hebrews 11, by faith we understand. And so it's not any problem for us to understand that these ages were framed in a time where there's absolutely nothing which completely blows our mind because we don't know what it's like for there to be nothing. But God does. And He created all of this out of nothing all of those millions and billions of years ago. By faith, we understand that. But this world is devoid of faith. And they think that they have justified themselves by denying God's creation. That's not true. Let's go to Romans 1. Romans, the first chapter. This is again God's word. And we can absolutely depend on God's word as being true. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And then verse 19. This is the basis that God is using for His judgment against all unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. For God hath showed it unto them. Why? Because the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God is telling humanity, creation is going to stand as the basis for My judgment against you. I have given you visible evidence of My existence. And that's exactly what creation is. Creation is the visible proof that God has given of His existence. Creation is a proof of God. And it doesn't make any difference that man says, I don't believe in creation. That makes no difference at all. God says creation stands as a witness against you, and nothing you can say or do will deny it. We understand now. Believe me, evolution has been around since I was in high school. And that was a couple of days ago. It has been here forever. And for the same reason, men would use evolution to try and prove that God doesn't exist. Well, it's not going to work. And then, as we said, man tries to come along and say, well, you know, the Bible says the earth is only 6,000 years old. No, it doesn't. We have just seen that it doesn't. The Bible tells us the real clue that God created this world billions of years ago. What we see in Genesis 1 is that God simply recycled what He had already made, what He had already created, and it still stands as evidence and proof and the basis of God's judgment upon men. And He said it well once again in the latter phrase, the last phrase of verse 20, they are without excuse. And it makes no difference how much they try to get rid of God's proof of His existence. I want to notice today that this is so important for us to understand, because the natural creation is only a type of our own, a pattern of our own spiritual creation. We've seen it before. We'll not go into it in this message, but the 7 days of creation are just a little type of what God does from the time we're born again until the time we're absolutely complete. Follows exactly the same pattern. But today, I want to notice that we have followed exactly the same pattern of creation. God created Adam, and indeed us, it applies to us. God created him sinless, but God didn't create him holy. And so it wasn't long until Adam found himself in that same condition. God didn't do it, but Adam found himself in that same condition without form and void. That's true of the entire human race. We were all, the entire Adamic race was plunged into oblivion. Now, here's where the change comes, and this is so important that you and I understand. God did not try to salvage the Adamic creation. He did not recycle it. Instead, as Scripture tells us, God was never caught off guard. God was never surprised when Adam fell. God already had his plan in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, before any of this catastrophe ever happened, and the world was plunged into oblivion. We find that God had redemption already ordained in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was slain from the foundation of the world. We'll not turn there, but Ephesians 2:10 says it this way. Keep in mind, and I emphasize again, God did not try, even attempt, to recycle the Adamic creation. Instead, Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and what? True holiness. Adam was never created holy. He was created sinless. Every child that is born into this world comes in sinless, but they don't last that long. And they, little innocent children, find themselves in the same predicament that Adam was, without form and void, and needing God's creation. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. God did a new thing here. He created us in Christ, someone that will last. We are created in a person, even the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as Jesus is alive, we will be alive. And that is forever and ever and ever. We also read this wonderful verse, and I want to notice that just like we find in the 7 days creation, God is creating in our spiritual lives day by day by day. Psalm 51:10, we remember it well. David is not uttering this prayer as one who never heard of God. This is after he got into trouble with Bathsheba. And we find that there was a way back into fellowship with God, and David found it. It's a wonderful story. He says in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart. Only God can do that. God is the creator in our natural lives, in these that we're living today, our spiritual lives in natural bodies, so to speak. God is creating day after day after day. And so create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. And we can, and maybe will, pray that prayer many, many times in our lives until God has finally reached a final conclusion. And so I want to see God's final creation. Let us go to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. God is still creating. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I want to see here, first of all, that this is different than we read in Genesis 1. We find here there was no more sea. In Genesis, God actually started with the sea. He started with the waters. But there's no more waters here. There's no more sea. Spiritually speaking, there's no more flesh. Because the wicked are like the sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up dirt and mire. That's what Isaiah tells us. I also want to notice that Isaiah tells us this same story of the passing away, and it seems the complete passing away of heaven and earth. Isaiah 65, 17 says it this way, Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former, that is heavens and earth, shall not be remembered nor come into mind. We have once again reached a place where God is not going to recycle. He's going to again make something out of nothing. And only God can do it. And so the former heavens and the former earth were passed away, John says. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. You will read the rest of that chapter and the rest of this book in vain if you're trying to find out what the new heaven and the new earth is going to look like, because John didn't say. He did give us somewhat of a synopsis and a view of the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. But I just wonder what John saw when he says here, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I'd like to know what he saw, but since he's not telling us, then we don't know. And there is so much we don't know about this God of creation, but I sure am wanting to find out. And God will unveil that, I am confident. But at this point, John may have been, though he doesn't say it, remember, Paul said he was caught up to the third heaven. He said, I saw things unlawful. He meant, I just didn't have words to describe it. Perhaps that was the way with John here, because John is seeing a new heaven and a new earth at this time. God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth, exactly the same as it was in the very beginning, when again he takes nothing and makes something out of it. But I want to close this message with the fact that God has a final creation concerned for us. Let's turn back to 1 John, the third chapter. John doesn't give us any kind of a clue as to what the new heaven and new earth will look like, as we noted. But I wonder if John wondered like we do what our final state is going to look like. But this is where I want to emphasize that I believe God is going to recycle this time with our bodies. 1 John 3 and verse 1, we read, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." That's this new creation we have been speaking of. We are created in Christ Jesus. We are created unto righteousness, holiness. We should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, and this is something that every one of us must take to heart in this present life. I mean right now this morning. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We're not waiting for some far-off distant time when we can someday and finally discover that we were the sons of God. No, beloved, now are we the sons of God. But here I think John wondered as we do. "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." I have known some people that absolutely insisted that the body that we have in heaven is not going to be this body. And I would disagree with that. I heard a person say one time, "Well, I certainly hope it's not the body that I have now." That can prove very dangerous for us. You and I must accept with gratitude the body that God gave us. Because if we don't, we will resent him for giving it to us. And resentment can lead to bitterness. Bitterness against God. Why did God give me a nose like Pinocchio? Why did God give me ears like Dumbo? Why? Pick out anything you want to. Regardless of what it is imperative not only that we accept it, but that we thank God for it, and that we make every effort, and I mean every effort, to take care of the body that God has given us. I am confident, again, this body will be recycled. The chief reason I say that is because if it follows the same pattern as we find here in 1 John, as he said, "We know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Jesus had the nail prints in his hands and his feet and the rift in his side after he was raised from the dead. Then we read these words. You can take these down if you like. 1 Corinthians 15:51. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And that means that this body, this same body, is changed from mortality to immortality. 1 Corinthians 15:44. "It," that is this body, "it's sown a natural body, but this same body will be raised a spiritual body." And so, as John says, we don't know exactly what God will create. We don't know what it would look like, and that's not important. What we do know, and where our confidence is the great creator and designer of the entire universe is going to create and change this body for me, an eternal body. And if you don't think I will be happy and ecstatic over the body that God creates for me, then you are wrong. God knows what he is doing. He always has. And so we rejoice today in God the Creator. And we need to give him absolute freedom in creating Christ in us during this life, and then creating this body as he wants to do for eternity.